Following lecture is the sole property of Imam W.D. Muhammad and cannot be sold or reproduced without written consent or permission of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Anyone not compliant will be apprehended and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. This is the national public broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, American Society of Muslims leader. The following lecture, titled The Importance of Diversity in Islam, was recorded April the 1st, the year 2003, at the College of New Jersey in Newnan, New Jersey. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Peace be unto you.
Our greeting is peace. Assalamu alaikum.
I didn't hear that introduction. I wish it could be like that all the time. We are very pleased to be your guests here at this college, New Jersey, Benton, New Jersey, and we are going to be addressing diversity in Islam, diversity in Islam. The human being is a special creation in Islam. As for most of the civilized world, especially the religious world. And we believe that the human being is the inheritor of the world that God made. God made us to inherit this world. But only the human being in the model that God intended for us, the model person, a model life, that God intends for us. Outside of that model life, we are not honored to be the caretakers and inheritors of this world that God made. We believe in Islam that responsibility for the environment, for our own life and also for the environment, is given to every human being. But we know that it's only the very few that will even have the curiosities and the interest to think in a way that would bring them to be concerned for the environment, for human life, and for the environment. It's only been the few, special few, that have inherited that from our first parent, our father, Adam. We believe that God gave it to Adam, and he was seduced out of it, out of his nature, or out of his beautiful life that God created for him by the Satan. This is also in Christianity and Judaism. Christianity, I know, very much like we believe it. And we believe that Satan is always challenging mankind and scheming and plotting the defeat of mankind, to defeat mankind, so mankind not come to that responsibility, come to grips. And even today, I believe Satan is just as he was in the garden, just as he was when he deceived Adam. He's just the same. He's still existing. And Satan is still working to defeat humanity, to defeat the human being, and prove that he is better than mankind, that he can plan the world better than mankind can, and he can manage the challenges better than humanity can, or better than mankind can. We believe he's a real. Not only do we believe Satan is real, we believe hell is real. And Naru Haq, the hellfire, is a reality. It's not a myth or superstition. It's a reality. We are living in a wonderful time, in spite of all the trouble we see in the world, the confusion we see in the religious world, the fighting that's going on and all this. It makes us believe, just when we look at it without understanding or knowledge of how we've made a lot of progress for the unity of mankind and for religious tolerance, a lot of progress for religious tolerance, that we can easily forget the great progress we have made when we look at all the trouble in the religious world today, the world of religions today. Islam wants us to see our differences or our diversity, but it wants us to see it in the same focus with our unity, with our unity. It wants us to see unity and diversity in one focus. Hence the saying of God in our holy book, the Quran, highly glorified is God. He says, for each is a goal. Turn your faces in the direction of this sacred house, and God will bring you all, wherever you may be scattered on this earth, God will bring you all together. So in this one focus, this one statement, this one picture that God is putting before our eyes, we have our unity and our diversity. So God wants us to keep our diversity, our differences that He intended for us. And at the same time, He wants us to value our unity over our diversity. We believe, as God says, He is the one who gave you your pitches when you were in your mother's, while you were in your mother's, or when you were in your mother's. That is, while your mother were holding you, conceiving you, or you had been conceived in your mother as a baby before delivery, before your delivery. You are given your features inside the mother's before your delivery. God says He's the one that have given you your features. But then God says, and He made most beautiful and excellent your feature. One feature. He gave us all these different features, African, European, Asian, whatever. He gave us all of these different features in our mothers. But He says that, and He made most attractive, most beautiful and excellent your single feature, your single picture. So we have pictures of our diversity, the diversity of nations, the diversity of races, the diversity of cultures, all this diversity. But what's more important is our sameness, the common human life for all of us. The common human life that God made for us. God made us in the human image firstly. And I think when Christianity or Christian preachers, when I hear them preach, a little child shall lead them. I know Christians think of what they want to think of. I don't know. I can't say what they're thinking about. But I know what I think of when I'm thinking with my mind, Muslim mind, having understanding of my religion, my book, my sacred book, regarding man. I think of man's innocence, man's purity, and man's innocence. That's what we come in the world with, that purity and that innocence. We come here as babies from our mothers, all of us, with that purity and that innocence. And as Muhammad the Prophet said, what we become is determined by the environment we are put into. If we put into an environment of a different religion and we don't know we're babies, we come up believing in a different religion. Or if we come in and put in an environment of another culture, we come up in that culture. And that will be our identity, that will be our life. So it is this innocence. It is this innocence that God, Allah, we say Allah, highly glorified of God. This is this innocence that Allah
want us to keep. It's that purity that our Creator want us to keep. And that is the original self before any cosmetics, before any decorations. That's the naked person. That is the naked person. Our human identity that we have in common with every other human being, in its purity and in its innocence, that is the naked person. And we dress that person up with the culture of our own, with the nationalism or the national identity of our own, etc. And God wants us to know this, that if you lose the original identity that He gave you, the first identity that He gave you, for He gave us all these other identities too. He created the world to give us all these other identities. Our cultural identity, nationhood, national identity, all this. God's plan, that's God's plan. When we have all these things, we have God's plan. That's God's plan for us. And this evidence is also in the Quran and in scripture, other scriptures. And God wants us to know that if you put on culture and you don't respect the naked soul that He created, and you put on nationalism, but you don't respect the naked soul He created, you put on racial identity, but you don't respect the naked soul He created, that's much more in value, and it is the foundation for all the other things you put on. If you fail to put those things on a healthy human person, all that other stuff is nothing but garbage, trash. It becomes trash and garbage. This is what God wants us to know. Muhammad the prophet, he didn't want to see the people of his hometown, Mecca, or the people of his land, Saudi Arabia, go to other areas, other countries, other people, and have them do away with their culture. He advised the leaders that when they go to the other people to invite them to Islam, he advised them to respect the cultures of the other people. Islam comes as Christianity originally to give culture, man's culture, assistance and to influence the culture to become pure, more righteous. We see in the Islamic world today the different cultures, the various cultures. In Egypt, you go to Egypt, Egypt has its culture, has its music, has its culture. You go to Pakistan, same. Go to different parts of the world, you find Muslims in their different cultural dress or dresses. This is Islam. But the big problem now for our unity is in this diversity that have separated from the original person as God wants us to see, that original person. God gives Christianity, Christ Jesus, Christians, pardon me, Christ Jesus to look at as the model life. And Islam gives us Muhammad, the prophet, our father, to look at as the model life. But I think most of us are looking for the wrong thing. We are looking with an interest in outdoing the other people, with an interest in rising above the other people. This didn't start today. It started a long time ago. Who knows? Maybe even before the Crusades it had started. There's a tendency in most of the people of the world of religion today to feel themselves in some kind of competition with each other and to want to promote their interests
at the expense of the other and to dominate. This is no good in Islam. This is no good for Muslims. This is no good for good Christians or anybody else that's good. God says, whoever wants to corrupt society or the world or want to dominate, he deny them that. You know, we have a saying, long time coming, but it's coming. So, you know, the ones that conspire to do that, sometimes they survive for a long time. And they think that they are situated forever in their places. But something happened to change things, and most of the time it's something that they didn't expect, and they lose their plan. But Satan is one that he never loses his plan, he just loses a battle. He never loses his plan. He keeps working to discredit our good human nature. God created us with human essence that can save us. This is in Christianity, this is in Islam. In Christianity, Jesus Christ tells one who was saved, he said, go, your faith have saved you. So we have faith. We know we have to have faith in God. But what that person had faith in was Jesus Christ. And that person shared with Jesus Christ a common nature. Jesus Christ said to his followers, I and the Father in me. And then he said, and I in you. And Christians say that every person is made to be Christ-like. We believe in Christ. Christians, pardon me. I say we. I do too. We believe in Christ singular. We believe in Christ plural. Christ singular, Christ plural. This is the teaching of the Bible. I'm a student of the Bible too. And Muhammad was told by God to say, I am a human mortal just like you. That's what Muhammad the prophet was said, told to say to his followers. Isn't this a restatement of what Jesus Christ said? That's all it is. It's a restatement of what Jesus Christ said. That whatever this excellence is that I have as a human person is in you. God put it in you. But God has manifested it in me for your salvation. Though it's in you, you have not lived to see it manifest in your own life, but God has made it manifest in me for your own salvation, to bring you back to your original nature. And this is true for both religions, I repeat. Now, diversity in Islam. What I'm trying to do is keep in focus the life that can support our diversity, our differences. Only our human life in its excellence that God intended for us can support our differences. When a man is awakened to the value of himself as a human person, his common life that he shares or that he has with all other human beings, that man sometimes rises to the top of his society. He becomes the planner, the voice, and the one with the vision for the future of his society. And he does not bring in racism. He does not bring in all of these ugly prejudices that we have experienced as people trying to live together on this planet Earth. He does not bring in those things. He speaks to the common excellence of humanity, and he brings all the people together. Fortunate for us as a political nation, our political body here, the American people, fortunate for us, our founding fathers, they had that perception. And they wrote for us and still here for us. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And they go on to say, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. So here is an idea of the founding fathers, an idea to give a people a point of unity for them and a point
of unity for them that will inspire them to more excellence, to better and better human life, and to more and more excellent achievements. They saw that, and they passed it on to us. I believe if it was not for that idea given to us by the founding fathers of this nation would not have survived this long. It is only because good, innocent human beings have faith in the idea when the idea was not yet respected and established. There are good people, good citizens of America, of all different persuasions, believing in the vision of the founding fathers, and I believe that's what has held us together till today. If I did not have that to see, to look at, and trust and stand upon, I'll be truthful with you. I would not be supporting the United States of America. I would not. The United States of America is not good enough for me if you take that out of it. It makes all citizens equal in their human essence, and it makes all citizens noble, and it makes all citizens deserving of the same rights and protection, the same rights and protection, the same freedom in this country. That's what gives that idea its longevity. Getting back to diversity. If I forget my human identity and begin to occupy my mind with my identity as an African American, as a black American, I'm not going far. I'm not going to achieve much for myself or for my people. I'm very limited. In fact, I'm going to be defeated by my own idea. It's going to defeat me. It's going to deny me the progress, the freedom and the progress that God created me for. I don't like anything in extremes. And Islam asks us to guard against the extremes. The only thing we can welcome in the extreme is obedience to God. Love for God, obedience for God. That's the only thing we can accept in the extreme. And you can only accept that when your perception is correct. If you misperceive that God, oh, you're in more trouble, you might as well give yourself to extreme alcoholism. If you misperceive God, you see him incorrectly. And God says to us in our holy book, says to the world, no just estimates have we made of God. The human mind is created to know what no other thing God created can know. And to find God and learn God's way, the way of God, or the way, the plan of God for human society, and pursue that path and earn the great destiny, the heaven, the paradise, the garden. Human being created for that. But the human being was not created to put God in one focus and study God like you do something of the world. We can't do that. God will always be too big for us to see completely. And I think that the warning to us that we should not try to see God in his totality. We should see God as he presents himself to us. I want to see God as God wants me to see him. I don't want to see God beyond that. And we discovering the material universe. We're searching the ends of the universe, if we can imagine the ends of the universe. But not yet have we put the universe on paper and say this is a map of the universe. We don't know yet where space ends and where space begins. We don't. So I think that's God's way. God created a material world so big that we cannot even perceive, understand where it starts and where it ends. And I think that's to tell us, if you can't see my works, where they started and end, please don't try to see me where I started and where I end. Because he is eternal. That's what man concluded. God is eternal. God is never beginning. He always was. And God is never ending. He always will be. As he is, as he always has been. This is the conclusion that the pious thinkers came to, who were thinking on God. So I'm not pleased to embrace diversity without also promoting thankfulness to God, the Creator, for all that we have of good, and pointing to the precious human life that God wants to see established as a model for all people. Then I feel comfortable saying, yes, we accept diversity, and we should be tolerant toward each other's religions, etc. Thank you very much. Peace to you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much for that great speech. The mom is now going to take a quick 15-minute question and answer period. So anyone who has a question should just raise their hand, and he'll start answering your questions.
Yes. 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 No. The forefathers I was talking about, they're gone. They've been dead centuries ago. 2 centuries ago, they're gone. Yes. Yes. Well, you know, sometimes a situation won't permit you to have any short, brief, clear-cut answer for it. And this is one. This is one. It's not, not to look at what's happening without looking at what are the causes behind what's going on. I know some say Bush wants Iraqi oil. I think it'd be much cheaper for the United States of America to buy Iraq's oil than to spend all these billions of fighting the Iraqi, fighting Saddam's forces. I can't buy that as the reason for what Bush is doing or for what our government is doing. I can't answer you directly. I can just give you the responses that I have inside here. While I'm looking at war and regretting loss of innocent lives and the trouble that we are bringing to the Iraqi people after all the troubles that we've already caused them and the suffering that they have already, and that's very painful in my soul. But I'm also looking at their leader, who seems to be in control and dominating them, Saddam, who will put innocent civilians and use them as shields to protect their weapons against America's military forces' attack upon them, so that when the attack come upon their military installations, Bush will be blamed for killing innocent civilians. So a person that will do that, in my opinion, is the person that we should want to get rid of. No way I would take innocent people and put them in front of my house so that when shots are fired at me, they hit those innocent people and blame the police for shooting innocent people. That's not in my soul to do anything like that. So I'm not just looking at what is happening, the misery that we are increasing for the Iraqi people. I'm looking also at the cancer that the expedition is intended to extract from the Iraqi people, and that cancer is Saddam. I have many thoughts about it. Some thoughts I can't share with you right now at this time and in this situation. I believe in Scripture. And if you are aware of Scripture and you study Scripture, you can see something that's going on in the world today. And it's ugly. Satan is behind a lot of things that's going on in the world today. And Satan is no mystery. Satan is real. Shaitan. Shaitan is behind a lot of what is going on in the world today. And Jews are the victims of Shaitan. Christians are the victims of Shaitan. Muslims are the victims of Shaitan. All humanity, we are the victims of Shaitan. In Quran, God does not repeat his name, Shaitan, Shaitan, Shaitan. God says he is the enemy of humanity. Aduwwan Nas. He is the enemy of humanity, the Satan. I do believe that Satan is the conspirator, and he has conspired to put the world into his hands, and he has influenced our divisions. He has instigated these troubles that we have. He is the main one responsible for all these troubles we have. A learned mind scholar in Islam, Dr. Ibrahim Izzuddin, really of the Emirates. He was of the Emirates, but he was born in Egypt. But he served the Emirates. And he was interviewed by a little magazine called The Little City recently. He gave this answer. He said, had politics not instigated trouble for the religious communities, said there would be no problem for Muslim, Christians, and Jews today. I firmly believe that. Politics influenced by the Satan, the real Satan. Satan is no superstition. Satan is no myth. Satan is real. I wish I could say more to you, but I can't. Thank you. Yes. Well, I began with that awareness. I didn't want to mention it, but when I started, that was the thought on my mind when I uttered my first words here today. And really, Muslim scholars should really study what God says when he says, for each is a goal toward which you are being turned. So turn your faces all toward this sacred place. And wherever you're scattered on earth, God will bring you all together. So God promises us that we will never have to worry about our togetherness, our unity, if we keep focus on the human excellence that he wants in all of us. That's the answer, sister. God says in our holy book that he created this world, this big material universe, to promote justice.
to promote justice. So we believe that natural phenomenon, that the nature, the material dynamics is promoting justice. And the more man engage the material world, bring out his sciences, utilize the benefits of God's creation for his own society, the more justice is going to be in demand. Study history, you see justice is more in demand now than ever before, because man has progressed with the material world. He's made great progress using the material world, the material things that God made. Now, there is no peace until there is justice. No peace until there is justice. We believe that God gave us a picture of this great universe, and he says that its beginning was not in quiet, but in noise, confusion, explosions, in chaos. And this is one of the word names for the universe, chaos. The universe was in violent commotion. One translator of Quran translates it in violent commotion. A smoke, a disturbed smoke, another description. God caused order to come into that chaos. When order came into chaos and everything received its attention and bodies were given their freedom to have their orbits and to have their place in the beautiful picture of the universe, everything got its respect and was given its freedom to be in the whole picture and to have its existence and its functions in the whole picture, then we have order. Then the heavens are at peace. God gives us that to show us what must happen on this earth. When we can respect our nations, our sister nations, as we respect ourselves, when we can give them the same freedom to have their own orbits, not impose our ideology on them, etc. But as long as they support the order and the peace for all mankind, we should tolerate their differences, even their differences in ideology. That's what I believe. That's what I believe justice is. Justice is having that kind of thought, that kind of mind, and accepting that everything God created for dignity can have its dignity and live its life. I would not want to see the United States pose this ideology on others. But help me out here about Saudi Arabia. Yes. Yeah, not that I agree with Saudi Arabia, but I believe if Saudi Arabia wants mosques in other countries, then it should accept that churches be in Saudi Arabia. And if Saudi Arabia doesn't want any churches in Saudi Arabia, then Saudi Arabia shouldn't want any mosques in Christian countries. If we are going to have mosques, messages, masajid in Christian countries, then all those nations should at least be on the paper for accepting that that those people can have their church or synagogue also in our land. It's not consistent with the logic or with goodness to say that we want our places of worship in your land, but you can't have one in our land. That's not good. But if Saudi Arabia sees itself as the Vatican, as a sanctuary for Muslims, and it doesn't want any religion preached over there, then it should establish for the world that we see this as a sanctuary. This is not just another Muslim country or another Muslim city. This is a sanctuary. This is a Muslim sanctuary, and we don't want other religions preached here. Maybe we can accept that, but it must establish that it's a sanctuary. That means Saudi Arabia has to clean up a lot if we're going to see it as a sanctuary. Because it's not quite a sanctuary, not in my opinion.
Yes. In Islam, along with diversity, we are entitled to differences of opinion. Differences of opinion. This is the teachings of the Prophet. And the scholars of Islam, most of them know this, and they respect differences of opinion. But the preachers of Islam, most of the preachers of Islam, they preach like a lot of the holier-than-thou preachers in Christianity. And they do not invite the open-mindedness that we need in our public. They don't encourage that. They don't encourage acknowledgement and before the public of this belief that we should respect differences of opinion. I believe that this kind of teaching has influenced the way we look at others. And we look at America and we say they don't think like we do. They don't believe like we do. So their thinking is bad. Their behavior is bad. It's all bad. It can't be good because they don't think like we do. We should look for good. This same man that I mentioned earlier, Ibrahim Izzedine, he was not satisfied with me when I became the leader. He thought someone else was going to become the leader of the Nation of Islam, my father's following. So when he came to me, he said, I know your father. I met your father. He said, well, we didn't expect you would become the leader. He said, if we can't get an educated leader, we'll accept a good leader. So he had his opinion of me, and the Muslim world has been given a picture of the West, especially America, as Khomeini said, the big Satan. And I think Khomeini was a great man. I think he did a lot of good for his country and for Muslims of the world, Khomeini. I love him. Love Khomeini. I pray for his soul in paradise, that he's in paradise. Khomeini. Although I know we didn't like him. But I know what he was fighting, and I thank God for him. Yes. He said, he called this country the big Satan. Well, when you look at it, you see a big Satan. Because after all, Satan is not all bad. Satan know he can't be all bad. He know he'll be identified if he's all bad. Satan is bad and good and extreme. He's extremely bad and extremely good, you know. So when you look at our society, it's extremely bad and extremely good. So I can't blame them for saying, this is the big Satan, you know. This is the big Satan. But we can't blame the intent. Matters in Islam is judged by intent. This is what our Prophet taught us, peace be upon him. Matters are judged by intent. What is the intent of the American people? The intent of the American people is to support human life and to advance the good human life. That's the intent. Yes, the intent of the American people, not all of them, but the intent of those people who are sincere in their religion, sincere in the church, that is their intent. The intent of the founding fathers was just that. And there are many American citizens who cherish that intent. They will live by it. They will die by it. They will stay here and they'll pass on respect for it and support for it to their children. It will be supported by the generations to come for as long as God chooses to have us exist on this earth as a country, the United States. So this is what I believe. But when I look at drugs, and alcoholism, prostitution, gambling, I see what they have in their idea too. Church people. I don't know if they're aware of it, but it's in their idea that Satan is in charge. That Satan has been put in man's hand, and you can lock Satan up and free him whenever you like. That the key to lock him up and to free him is given to man. And they lock him up sometime and they free him most of the time. Alaykum as-salam. I understand. Yes. God created us with a heart and a human, and a mind, human head, a head on our body. And when you look at the human body and the head in proportion to the rest of the body, the head is a small quantity, mass, in comparison with the whole body. That is to say that we're never going to have the great numbers qualified or even inspired to lead and protect our interests. We have to identify those of like minds, who are ready to support and advance our cause, and they have to come together and represent the head for the body. It'll never be the many, it will always be the few. So my advice to the sisters is get with sisters that are of like mind, come together with sisters that are of like mind. Don't be separated from one another. Don't be out of touch with one another. And together, you have strength, you have increased knowledge and vision, and you'll be able to do marvelous things for your community of Islam in America. That's my advice. And I'm with you. Thank you.
Thank you. For more audio or video lectures by Imam W.D. Muhammad, call W.D. Muhammad Publications at 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.